Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Title of our message, would you read it together with me? It's upon the screen. Judgment Day, Terror or Celebration? Based on Luke's gospel, listen to these words. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth, dismay among the nations. Men will be fainting from fear of the things which are coming upon the world. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and glory. But when these things begin to take place, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Be on guard, so that day does not come upon you suddenly, like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth." I invite you this morning to open up your worship folder and find there the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Judgment Day, Terror or Celebration. Well, you probably know the scene from the old Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, The Terminator. It's a quiet and peaceful night in a police station. Not much is going on. And then a man walks through the front glass doors of the police station with a leather jacket and leather pants and wearing sunglasses, even though it's nighttime. And he looks around the police station and doesn't say a word and looks around. And finally, the desk sergeant asks him, "Can I help you, buddy?" And the character still looks around at everything and then looks at the police sergeant and says these famous words, "I'll be back." And a moment later, that police station is just utter chaos and destruction as he drives an automobile through the front door, the front window of that police station. Utter chaos and destruction. Did you like my Schwarzenegger imitation? Haven't been working out like I should be. But when the Bible speaks of Jesus' return, his coming back, his second coming, sometimes it describes it as a scene from The Terminator. The Bible says it will be a time of mayhem and power and destruction. Jesus tells us in Luke 21, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars on the earth, dismay among the nations, men fainting from fear, the expectations of the things which are coming upon the world, the powers of heaven will be shaken." When Jesus comes back on Judgment Day, the Bible tells us there will be mayhem and destruction. The judge of mankind is coming back and nobody will escape his judgment. And judgment will come, why? Due to mankind's sin. Jesus tells us in Luke 21, "Be on the guard, so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares and worry of life, so the day will not come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth." It will come like a trap, Jesus says. In the Greek language of the New Testament, the word for trap is a trap described to use to catch and destroy wild animals. The sin of mankind, our sin, says Scripture, brings judgment and destruction, and it will be sprung like a trap. Almighty God is angry with mankind's sin. Did you hear me say that? That whole concept has become foreign in our world and unfortunately foreign in many corners of the Christian church. Don't talk about sin and destruction. Let's just have a happy face all the time. But the scripture is clear. Almighty God is angry. And He's angry with our sin and what we've done to each other. This reminds me of probably the most single famous sermon ever preached in the English language. It was preached by a revivalist preacher named Jonathan Edwards almost 300 years ago. And the sermon was entitled, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. By the way, it was this sermon that for the very first time spoke the common phrase, fire and brimstone, to signify God's anger with sin. Now, whether or not our world today takes sin seriously, God takes sin seriously, and so should we. Jesus tells us in Luke 21, but keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all the things that will take place so you can stand before the Son of Man. Look around us today. Sin is covered up and even renamed to make it seem less evil than it really is. It's no longer murder. It's termination of pregnancy. It's no longer adultery. It's sexual freedom. It's no longer perversion. It's alternate lifestyle. It's not turning our backs on the holy things of God. It's being open-minded and being politically correct. And all of the above is being shoved down our throats as normal. Don't you feel smug and self-righteous now? Oh, all those people outside the church, look how they're living. Lest we simply point fingers at others, what about us in the church? You've heard me say it a dozen times. You'll hear me say it a dozen more if God gives me the strength to continue to be your pastor. What my third grade teacher, Mrs. Miller, said to me, be careful when you point one finger at somebody else because you have three coming right back at yourself. It's easy to take pot shots at the sinful world. Let's look at ourselves in the mirror in the church. Is our Christian faith and the church a priority for us and our family? Or is it a pastime when we can fit it in if nothing else gets in the way? Is our Christian faith and the church a commitment or a convenience? Are the treasures of our Christian faith, especially the treasure of Jesus, is that treasure being passed on to the next generation? Or are we following the lead of our godless neighbors, filling our lives with the things of this world, things that really are here today and gone tomorrow? Let me tell you, my heart is broken. My heart is broken by church members and former church members whose absence from worship and receiving God's word and His sacraments clearly declare in the battle for my eternal soul, Jesus is taking a second seat. What's really important to me is what this world has to offer. And now we take to heart Jesus' words that say to us today, What does it profit for a person to gain the whole world but lose their soul? Judgment Day is coming for unbelievers and for believers. And Jesus reminds us in St. Luke's Gospel, quote, "For it will come upon everybody who dwells on the face of the earth." On that judgment day, God will come with His power. Now, if I ended the sermon right there, you should stone me. For I have only declared to you one half of the truth of Holy Scripture, what we Lutherans call the law. Is there any good news? Oh, is there good news? Is there good news? We can be thankful that Jesus' return on that last day is not just a scene from the Terminator. It will be a blessed time for all of those who have trusted Jesus and repented of their sin. Just this week, especially now as Christmas time draws near, I'm spending a lot of time out of the office calling upon our members who are hurting and in need, especially the elderly who are sick and alone. And time and time again, I hear from these dear saints of God, "Jesus, please come back. I'm ready. I'm ready for Judgment Day, the end of the world. I want to be with you forever." Speaking of Himself, Jesus says this in Luke 21. "Then they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and great glory." We've spoken about power. Now let's talk about glory. Time after time in Holy Scripture, God's glory is connected with His love and His mercy for His people. Jesus Himself prays these words, listen carefully. Jesus prays these words as He kneels in Gethsemane's garden the day before He goes to the cross. Jesus says, "And now, my Father, glorify me." The glory Jesus speaks of is the glory of God seen at the cross. As Jesus, His Son, lays down His life for your sins and for mine and for the sins of the world. The glory Jesus speaks of is the glory of God to be seen at the empty cross, the empty tomb. The glorious scene as Jesus rises from the grave and defeats the powers of sin and death and devil. This glory is the same glory that He will bring with Him on Judgment Day, the end of the world, for all who belong to Him. God's redemption of sinners is His glory. Jesus tells us, to us who belong to Him through simple faith in Jesus Christ, that Judgment Day will be a good day, a day of celebration. He says, "When these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, because you know your redemption is drawing near." In face of the day that's coming, we can lift up our heads. When I return home from a long day at work, or when I've been traveling, as I told the kids in the children's message, I ask our little dog, Charm, this question. And I always do it three times. I say, "Do you wanna? Do you wanna? Do you wanna go for a walk?" And she is just dancing and prancing and so excited. Any of you who have seen her can picture that. She is not hanging down her head when I return. She lifts up her head with joy and anticipation. Oh, my dear friends, when our Lord Jesus comes back, it will be a time for us to lift up our heads in celebration. For He has come back just as He promised. Our redemption has drawn near. Our Redeemer has returned. He who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave has returned to take us home. I promised you, Brad Pelling, I'd be talking about cars today. And here come some illustration about cars. When I bought my first car ever, I was so excited I could barely hold my anticipation. It was a cherry red, two-door Chevy Nova with a three-speed and a black leather interior. It was a used car. But it was a beauty. I bought it late one night and the paperwork still had to be completed. Still, the dealer put this sign on the windshield of the car. This car belongs to Stephen. Now, I had to wait a few days before I could pick it up. But I came back the next night just to go to the parking lot and to stroke the car and to look at it and to dream of all the exciting things I could do and hopefully all the cute girls that I could take for a ride. Sorry, Beverly. That was before I knew you. And I said aloud to this car. I said out loud to this cherry red two-door Chevy Nova these words. I paid for you yesterday. I'll be back for you tomorrow. This is in effect what our dear Lord Jesus Christ says to each of us here. On the cross of Calvary, I paid for you yesterday. But judgment day comes and I'll be back for you tomorrow. Another pastor tells a story of a car that he saw. One day he saw this car when he was driving home. The pastor said it was the ugliest car he had ever seen. He said, quote, it was ugly on top of ugly. He said when you looked up the word ugly in the dictionary, you'd see a picture of this car. It had a large gash in one side. One of the doors was held together by baling wire. Several body parts were quite rusted, and he couldn't tell the original color of the car because it had been repainted so many times. But he said the most interesting thing about this car was the bumper sticker on the back of the bumper that was still holding up. And the bumper sticker read, "No, this is not an abandoned car." A long time ago, a baby was born in a manger. He was the Savior of the entire world. He was a sign to us, a sign from God that says, "No, this is not an abandoned world." We as Christians are not an abandoned people. We have the promise of forgiveness from our Lord, the promise of forgiveness written in blood, and His promise that one day He will return for us to take us home. He will be back. You can count on it. And for God's people, that day of His return, that day of judgment, will not be a day of terror. But it will be a day of celebration. And so we pray the last prayer of Holy Scripture, written in Revelation chapter 22. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In the name of Jesus. Amen.